In this problem, the energy of a transition from the L equal 2 to the L equal 3 state in carbon monoxide, CO, is 1.43 times 10 to the minus 3 electron volts, 1.43 milli electron volts. In the first part, compute the rotational inertia of the carbon monoxide molecule, and in the B part, what is the average separation between the centers of the carbon and oxygen atoms? So let's write down what we know. We have a transition from an L equal 2 to an L equal 3 state in carbon monoxide. The energy difference between those states is 1.43 times 10 to the minus 3 electron volt. So this is going to be a rotational state. We want to calculate the rotational inertia of carbon monoxide. Okay, well, we know that the rotational energies are given to us in terms of the angular momentum and the rotational inertia, I. But in quantum mechanics, this rotational inertia is, well, L remembers the square root of L times L plus 1. So L squared would be L times L plus 1 H bar squared over 2i. So we can use this equation to determine the rotational inertia. We want to find the rotational energy of the L equal 2 state, find the rotational energy of the L equal 3 state. The difference then was given to us, and from that we should be able to find the rotational inertia. So let's try to do that. So what is delta E? Well, let's go ahead and find that then. So delta E, we can bring out then the h bar squared over 2i. And delta E is just going to be given by the difference in L. Let me go ahead and let L equal 3 first, just so I end up having a positive number instead of having to take an absolute value sign. So it's going to be 3 times L plus 1 is 4, minus the same value for the L equal 2, which will be 2 times L plus 1, which will be 3. And let's see, we have 3 times 4 is 12, minus 6, so this is 6. 6 over 2 will give us 3, so this is equal to 3 h bar squared over I. Now we can solve this equation for the rotational inertia, and we have I is equal to 3 h bar squared over delta E. And now we know all those numbers, so let's go ahead and put them in. So this is equal to 3 times h bar. We look up h bar as 1.055 times 10 to the minus 34 joule seconds quantity squared divided by delta E, which is given to us as 1.43 times 10 to the minus 3 electron volts. Well, here we have a joule and here we have an electron volt, so we need to put in a unit correction. So let's do that right here. Change this to joules. We multiply by 1.6 times 10 to the minus 19 joules per electron volt. Now, the electron volt is going to be canceled by this, and we're going to have a joule second squared up here and a joule here. So let's multiply out those numbers, and we're going to be left with a 1.46 times 10 to the minus 46. Now, what are the units here? We have put everything in the international system. So we're going to end up here with a joule. We're going to have a joule squared over joule, so we're going to have a joule second squared. But we know that rotational inertia is in terms of mass times distance squared. So this just simply has to be kilogram meter squared. As long as we do everything in the international system and we change the electron volts to joules here, we know that's true. So that's the result we have for the A part. In the B part, we want to determine the average separation between the C, the carbon, and the oxygen atoms. Okay, well, let's draw a diagram to start, make sure we know what we're doing. So here's here's the diagram of a molecule, and of course this bar is not really there, but I'm doing that for a purpose. So let this be carbon and this be oxygen, and I just drew this one smaller than that one. The center mass is going to be somewhere in between, close to the oxygen, and the distance between the two is going to be r. Okay, well, we're going to need the reduced mass here, so mu is the reduced mass, and that is in general given to us as m1 m2 over m1 plus m2, which in this case is 12 times 16 over 12 plus 16, and that reduced mass then will be, well, see, that's going to be in terms of atomic mass unit, so I'm going to have a u squared here and a u here, so this is going to be turn out to be in u. So this will be 6.86 u atomic mass units. If I go ahead and put in the conversion from atomic mass units to kilograms, then you can look up that conversion in the front index of the book. Then it's 1.139 times 10 to the minus 26 kilograms. That's the reduced mass. Now we know that the rotational inertia is equal to the reduced mass, and I keep writing this as a mu, it really is a u, times r squared. We want to solve for r, so this says that r squared is equal to I over u. So r is given to us as the square root of I over u. So let's put the square root in brackets. We just calculated what the rotational inertia is, 1.46 times 10 to the minus 46 kilogram meter squared over the reduced mass, and we have that also in international units. We just calculated that. And we want to take the square root of that, and when we do that calculation, we get 1.132 times 10 to the minus 10 meters. This 10 to the minus 10 meters, remember, is an angstrom, so this is the distance is about one angstrom, which is a reasonably accurate number. Or in nanometers, this would be 0.1 nanometers, and that's about the sizes of molecules, so this looks like it's a reasonable result. This, by the way, is similar to one of the examples in this chapter.